الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today's topic will be about remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the remembrance of Allah and how one remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, اذكروني اذكركم, remember me and I will remember you. And as he said, الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم, those meaning the believers who remember Allah at all their positions, whether they are sleeping, whether they are sitting, whether they are standing. So to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is very much beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no action that one does which is more sure to save him from the punishment of Allah from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such an action where it saves you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no group of people who sit in a circle remembering Allah except that the angels will circle them and the mercy will cover them and Allah will remember them and will mention them to those who are with him. Meaning the angels who are with him. So to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is very important and very it's a very beloved action and a very beloved worship by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, first of all, that one must fear Allah and trust in him and depend upon him, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the remembrance of Allah starts in the heart, and that is the root of remembrance. To remember Allah by tongue, this is good, but it will be of no value if it is not something which is based in the heart. So if someone says, for example, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, this will have no meaning if in his heart he does not glorify Allah. If someone says, for example, Subhanallah by his tongue, and at the same time in his heart he thinks that Allah is not treating him justly, or is not treating him wisely, or he doubts Allah's knowledge or Allah's wisdom or anything, then he has not said Subhanallah. He has not glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone says Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah, and at the same time in his heart he does not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered everything for a wisdom and has created everything for a wisdom, then he has not praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he did not believe firmly that Allah is the all-wise. That means he did not praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he says by tongue, praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, but in his heart, for example, he does not think that Allah is the all-just, and he does not think that Allah is the almighty, the all-powerful, the all-seeing, the all-hearing, the all-knowledgeable. This is the real meaning of Alhamdulillah, and that is all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also means that we should recite his book, because his book has been called the remembrance. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We have sent down to you the remembrance, and we will preserve it, we will protect it. So to recite the book of Allah, this is great remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the greatest ways to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to recite His words and to make benefit of His words by understanding the Book of Allah and by acting upon it. This is the real understanding of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, to remember Allah means to sit in circles, to study the Book of Allah, and to study the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Sunnah, as we mentioned before, explains the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to know what is allowed and what is not allowed, to know what is lawful and what is unlawful, to know what is halal and what is haram, what is right and what is wrong. All this means to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a group of people sit in circle, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that this group of people sits to glorify Allah and to praise Allah and to study the Book of Allah and to study the good knowledge which is based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It does not mean, however, to do something which was not taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, some people might sit in circles and say in congregation Subhanallah or La ilaha illallah in a way where it was not taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They might use some music, they might dance while they are saying, for example, La ilaha illallah. They might be shaking their heads, they might be bouncing right and left, up and down. This is not the way to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an innovation. Any action which was not taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any action which has not been done by us is not acceptable. And in regarding this matter, there is a true story where one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, who came to the masjid in Kufa at his time, and he saw people in circles in the masjid. They were saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar in congregation, and they were counting what they say by stones, saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and so on. So this companion, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, looked strangely at them, and he felt that they are doing something which they did not do at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, they were saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. They were saying that after the prayers and other times, but not in this way, where they do it in congregation, in circles, and they throw stones, counting what they say. So, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari felt that this thing is wrong, and therefore he immediately went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, another companion, and he told him, I saw such and such in the masjid today, meaning that I saw something strange. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and have you told them anything? Have you forbade them from doing this? He said, no, I was waiting for you to come and tell them. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came covering his face with his cover. And he came there and he stood near them. Then he told them, what are you doing? They said, we are only saying something good. That is, we are saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and so on. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told them, what you are doing now is something different from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. What you are doing now is either something which is better than what the Prophet taught us, or you are doing something which is an innovation. So they said, but we only mean good. We are saying something good, and we only mean good. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told them a word which must be remembered by every Muslim. He said, not everyone who means good achieves it. In other words, to mean good is not enough, but you have to achieve it in the right way. So if you mean to do good and you follow the right way to achieve that good, then this will be good and this will be beneficial and you will be rewarded for it. But if you mean good and you follow a way which is not from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are not achieving that good and you will not be receiving the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this story we find that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud have acted very roughly with them, and he acted tough with them, because this is some fundamental of Islam, and that is to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all our actions, no matter how our intentions are. There is another condition, and that is to do what you intend for the sake of Allah, to do it in the right way, to do it in the way which our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered us, and not to do something which is not told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this story we find that to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mean what the innovators do nowadays, and that is to sit in circles and to jump up and down and to use some musical instruments and so on. This is against the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the real remembrance of Allah includes the study of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to achieve the knowledge of Islam. And this is the real knowledge, and this is the real remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who Allah wills good for him, he will make him learned in religion. He will make him learned in religion. So that means if Allah wishes good for you, he will make you learned in religion. And if he does not wish good for you, then he will make you ignorant in religion. And of course everyone wants to be in a position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for him, because if he wants good for you, you will enter paradise, and if he does not want good for you, you will not enter paradise. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رسول. Today's topic will be about dua, that is calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed a great worship to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said in his book, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says that it is an order for his slaves to call upon him. Then he says, those who are bluffed in pride to the degree that they don't call upon Allah, they will be receiving punishment in hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that calling upon Allah is the worship, meaning that calling upon Allah is the soul of the worship, and that is according to another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that calling upon Allah is the soul of worship. Now, calling upon Allah is based on loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is based on fearing him, and is based on desiring and wishing all good from him alone. Those are the three fundamentals of worship. In other words, to love Allah, to fear him, and to desire and wish from him alone. Those are the three fundamentals of any worship. No worship is considered a worship. No action is considered a worship if it is not to gain Allah's love. And if someone does something not to seek his reward and mercy, then it is not a worship. And it will not be a worship also if there is no fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you don't go by this order, he will be angry with you and he will punish you. So to call upon Allah depends upon those three fundamentals of worship, and that is loving Allah, desiring his mercy and reward, and fearing his wrath and punishment. Now, to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is worshipping him alone. Therefore, if someone calls upon other than Allah, no matter who he might be, whether he is a prophet, an angel, any person or anything, then he is actually associating partners to Allah in worship. To call upon anyone other than Allah, you are worshipping other than Allah. And in Islam, you must call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and directly, with no means in your calling upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my slaves ask you about me, tell them I am near, I answer their call. Tell them I am near and I answer their call. So in Islam, one does not ask Allah through saints or through any person. One does not ask Allah through any symbol or any object like the disbelievers used to do at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because what they were doing is that they were turning to their earthly gods, namely the idols, and asking them. And they were doing so because they thought that by asking them, those gods, as they called them, will take their needs to Allah. So they will be mediators between them and Allah. And those idols which the disbelievers at that time were respecting and were calling upon, they were symbols of pious people. They were symbols of angels and symbols of pious people who have died previously. So if we do the same thing like many ignorant people do nowadays, by asking Allah through the saints, whether they are engraved or they are alive, they ask Allah through what they call awliya, and this is the same disbelief that the Arabs used to fall into, and this is the same idea of polytheism that the Arabs had. Therefore, it is very important for the Muslim to avoid this destruction of faith, and that is to call Allah through some agent or some mediator. This is shirk. This is against the religion of Allah. This is against saying La ilaha illallah. The mushriks, the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were, for example, sacrificing animals for their gods, so that their gods become pleased with them, and therefore they mediate for them, and they become intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, nowadays we find similar actions when we find people who go to the graves of the awliya and sacrifice animals for them, or give money or whatever to make those awliya as intercessors for them and as mediators between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the same shirk that the Arabs used to have previously. Now, the Arabs used to call this a worship. When they sacrificed an animal to those gods, they used to say that this is a worship to them. But we only worship them to bring us closer to Allah. Or we only worship them to become our mediators, to become our intercessors. So they knew that what they were doing is a worship. But actually, the people nowadays do the same thing, that is, for example, sacrificing for those awliya, but they say that this is not worshipping them. This is just to show our love for them. So the words do not change the reality of the action. The reality of this action is that this is a worship for them. The fact that you call it loving them or respecting them does not change the reality. To put a good name for something evil does not change that reality of that evil. Therefore, what they are calling love and respect for the awliya is actually worshipping them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the greatest insult for them, because the awliya, the real awliya, are those pious people who obey Allah and who do not like anyone to disobey Allah. So if you commit shirk, if you make them as intercessors between you and Allah, you are greatly disobeying Allah. And therefore this is a great insult for them. To love them and to respect them means that you should go according to their path and go by what they please. And no pious man, dead or alive, likes to be associated with God, to be made as an intercessor between the humans and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that dua is a worship, we must know also here that our dua or our call must be sincere, something sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also our dua should be in the right way, in the right manner, the way which has no contradiction to the orders of Allah and His Messenger. Any action will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is not sincere for the sake of Allah, if it is not purely for the sake of Allah. Also, any action will not be accepted by Allah if it is not according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we make dua, we should also know this, that our dua should be in the form which is according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the best way to make sure that our dua is in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to use the same words which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself were using in his dua, especially if we know that his dua was the best dua. It was a few words which had great meanings in them. But we can make any dua as long as this dua does not involve something which is against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a true hadith that Allah does not like for someone to transgress in his dua. So you cannot transgress in your dua. You cannot ask Allah something which is against what He pleases, something which is against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith that there is nothing which is more honorable to Allah than making dua. Now, this means that making dua is something which is so much beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the relation between the Lord and his slave. The Lord loves from his slave to turn to him in all matters and in all his problems and in all his needs. Now, the more the slave shows his need to his Lord, the more that shows his sincerity in worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon ordering us to make dua, he is actually, he wants us to show our need to him. And indeed, this is the relation between a slave and his master and his Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us in making dua that we should ask repeatedly, once and again and three times and so on. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a true hadith, he who does not ask Allah, Allah will become angry with him. And this shows that making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is not only very important for the believer, but it is something which is very much beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to make dua at special times, there are some times where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have recommended for us. For example, the last third of the night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lower heaven every night in the last part of the night, in the last third part of the night. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, who is there to ask me and I will answer him? Who is there to repent to me and I will forgive him? So at that time where people are asleep, if someone wakes up and makes his prayer and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your call. Also, after prayers, before saying the salam or after saying the salam, it is a recommended time for making your dua. Also, when someone is sick, he feels more need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore his heart will be softer in this situation, and his call is more likely to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when someone has been transgressed against, someone who has been done injustice to him, Allah will answer his dua more likely. Also, after the adhan, that is a good time for making the dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned. Those are some of the times for making the dua, and there are special places which are better for making dua. For example, in the Arafah place, when someone is making Hajj and he is standing there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer his call. And when someone is making the prostration in his prayers, that is the closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore his dua is more subject to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.